DiscerningHearts.com presents And Mary's Yes Continues Afresh with Sister Joseph Andrew Bogdanowicz. Sister Joseph Andrew is the vocation director and one of the founders of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. Our conversations in this series flow from And Mary's Yes Continues Afresh, a book published by the community that offers a deeper understanding and appreciation of the life-giving vocation of religious sisters and their role in our world today. And Mary's Yes Continues Afresh with Sister Joseph Andrew Bogdanowicz. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Importance of your order, your particular charism for religious life in a very real way is that maternal nurturing needs to be brought to the world, and it needs to be brought especially to women. Our formation has been disordered. And sometimes you just need to have that mother, that maternal presence, to be able to say to you, it's okay. And exactly. I understand, especially for women, because we can go and God bless the priests that hear our confessions, you know, and God bless them for their, you know, the celebration of the Eucharist that they provide in their presence. And through them, Christ is working to nurture us and to heal us. But you also need the mother. And Mary, tell me if I'm wrong, and I mean this in all reverence, she would rather be in an embrace of one of her children than just the statue up in the corner.
Oh.
I mean, I think she would rather, don't you think?
You know, that's the only, and I say this and people laugh, the only problem I have with Mary and statues is she's so still.
Yeah.
No woman is still. No woman's maternal heart isn't drawn towards another and deeply desiring to embrace the other. And so we see these statues and I'm like, Mary, just wiggle a little bit. Just to let them know that your desires are to be right here surrounding me with your infinite love, not just standing there sterile, so to speak.
You see it in Europe, don't you? I mean, in Europe, they have statues of the Blessed Mother and she's breastfeeding the child.
I know.
Or she's involved with the child. In America, it is just, particularly in our churches, and it's beautiful. And I know. Please, dear,
it
let
teaches us a certain reverence.
That's right.
But now, like you, I'm like any woman desires to give of herself to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes Europe can be ahead of us on some of that. And I just love their freedom to be able to express the most maternal aspect of a woman, mm-hmm. you know, in whatever manner she's called, that she is to feed of her own self, the other, the child, whatever.
Well, yeah, isn't that, and I don't mean to digress, but I just to hit on that moment, there was something that happened to the world a couple years ago when Notre Dame was burning.
Yes.
There is something about Our Lady's, there was something really transcendent. It wasn't just about a building burning down. And it wasn't just a historical building burning down. We've had that happen.
Uh-huh.
That's a heart level thing. Something was crying uh-huh. out in pain over that. Did you experience anything like that?
Oh, very much so. And what was interesting, at one point, I probably had the same idea that you did. It was, okay, all these commentaries that are coming out. And so I went back and looked at as many as I could find, and I didn't read them all, but because I knew they all were saying the basic same thing, is there's something going on that's violating a part of me somehow, and I want to protect it. And I thought, okay, what's the common thing? And I mean, from my quote study of this, because the thought came to me, so many men were writing those because they were feeling protective of the mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I thought, I feel this because the world, and for the same reason, can't lose mom. And this church so exemplifies for how many, 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 many years and all the above. And again, as you said, it was way beyond the value, even of the incredible values, the crown of thorns, et cetera, everything that was in it. It was more of, you've touched something deep within me and you have no right to touch that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in some ways, that brought out, I don't know, again, if there are that many commentaries written on what we're saying, but I think there should have been. And the fact that we all felt that mom was violated, and I need mom, and don't you dare touch her, and I have a right to her, and you, I will protect mom. And for the man, I think it was the protection of the woman, which is his call, his divine call to protect the woman who protects the life, brings forth the life.
Oh, and the prayer of the people, the gathering in that area around Paris of the Hail Mary, the Rosary, the Ave Maria being sung. There is something so just, I keep going back to transcendence. There's something that, okay, yes, maybe the mystery of it all, and you can't maybe put your finger on it, but it's there. And it's that transcendent, you know, that mystery is not unlike, forgive me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's not unlike that little girl who was you, who was trying to, I don't understand. She just loves me.
Uh-huh.
You know, exactly. I mean, I don't understand why I'm, according to you, you weren't that lovable. I can't believe, probably precocious, maybe a little bit.
I think so.
There was another one, her name was Catherine, whose mother, she, a long time ago, the Benincasa family didn't, they thought she was a little precocious too. What is it about this Catherine of Siena? But, yes. You know, and I think that's the joy. It must be it for many. It, just the fact that your order, the doors are wide open for those who feel there's something more. I'm being called. And you're right there, like the mothers. The mothers are just saying, come on in. Let's have a piece of pie and let's have a talk and let's figure this out.
Exactly. Chris, you just hit the nail on the head. One word that I listen to when a young woman speaks to me and she's interested in a possible, she's open to a possible religious vocation. And that is the word more. And when you said this, it just went ding, because I'm always listening for that, because you can't express it, but all you can say is nothing is enough, no matter what. And I already know, even if I amassed more or multiples of what I think I like, et cetera, I'd still say I want more. And I think that's really something that young people, you know, where it says where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And I love that, to think as we look at our world and our society and all the problems, certainly I go back to, if I had to put them, so to speak, in order, number one would be, do these people know? And that's very Dominican. Has anybody ever taught them, preached to them, told them? Because, again, I can get all kinds of audiences, and rarely do I get, I disagree with you. It will be, wow, I didn't put it together that way. That's interesting. Gosh, got a lot to think about. Tell me more, you know? Even if it's something that I know is going to impact some people here, if it's sexual morality in the middle of a big college campus, et cetera, rarely do I get, oh, sister, I disagree with you. And if I do, then it's, I'm like, well, honey, you need to pray over that, and I will continue to. And read John Paul II's theology, the body is very clear. And sometimes they will, and they'll, you know, but someone will come to the fore because they'll overhear this and go, oh, it's right on, right on. Sister, you called us out. Thank you. You know, if they're at that spiritual level, you help me see what I've been battling with, that I couldn't see the fine lines. And I know where I want to go with it, but I don't know how to get there. And you kind of paved the way. So I will always say knowledge has to be present. Somebody has to. Well, Paul says this, and how will they know if there's no preacher? And how will they pray if there's no one praying? And how will they know any, et cetera? You know, and he asks those questions. I just love that. And then the second thing I would say, obviously, has to be, and this has to go with the first, it has to be the witness that what you see is what you get. That I'm not speaking from some external reality, I'm speaking from my own heart. And I've given my life to this, and though I'm weak and fallible and all the above too, I certainly am praying my way for the very same thing. And so they have to realize, and the comments that young people will make so many times will just take me back, and their humility and their gratitude and their, wow, I never knew that. I remember the very first time I taught, and I'm more of a high school teacher, college teacher, but at any rate, I was sent to a fifth grade, and I thought, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this. I loved it. It's one of my two favorite classes ever, because they were just, they broke my maternal heart open, as I had mentioned earlier. But I remember one time speaking to a child who was a problem child and all this kind of stuff, and just saying, you've really got it in you. I know you do. And you're smart. I'm not smart. Yes, you are. Don't look at your report cards. Nobody ever saw it before, but you've kept it hidden very well. Now it's time to reveal it, because you really are. And so the child started kind of picking up on the grades. And then one time when it really was making a huge difference in his grades, for whatever reason, just slacked back, which can happen. And I'm just looking, I'm going, why did you do that? You know, this has to average into your grade, and it's not going to be what it is. Why? How could you do that to yourself? This makes me so sad. And he just looked at me and very simply said, sister, you care more about my grades and myself than I do or my parents do. Why do you love me so much? And I was like, I know, talk about that maternal heart. Oh my gosh. I could give so many stories of how my students have taught me, you know. But then I take it up to young women with discernment, or young people on college campuses, et cetera, or in parishes. And it's the very same thing. It's, sister, something about what you said touched me. And I know ultimately that God really loves me in a manner I did not know that before. And I'm going to remember this. And pray for me. I need it, because I'm going to have to make some changes in my life, whether that's towards vocation or towards moving out of crowds that they're hanging around with, you know, or sometimes it's their own educational desires or whatever, or sometimes it's, you know, in a parish, it can be the desire of a man to really achieve and get rich, 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 or it can be, a mom who decides maybe she does have a little bit more time that she needs to spend with her children than she thought she did. And because these other things really are going to be dust, but her kids are going to live on, and they have immortal souls, whatever the Holy Spirit wants to use it for. But I'll always believe we are broken goods, and the noun is the good, and the adjective, which can change, is that we're fallible, you know, we're broken, we're wounded. But as divine mercy has taught us, right in the middle of the wound, God desires to come. And he is no alien to wounds. He is no stranger to suffering. And he desires to come right there. The rest of us, you know, is fine. You know, and so I think so many times in prayer, we can pride ourselves on, well, I'm not this, this, and the, you know, like the gospel story. You know, I give you thanks that I'm not like that guy. Oh, for pity's sake. How about, why can't I pick up his virtues in the following ways I don't have? And another thing that you had mentioned, Chris, that I want to highlight is we women do see our weaknesses differently than men. And men would see their weaknesses as different strengths that they should have, be it in the physical dimension many, many, many times. And of course, that's the way they're wired and they're supposed to, or in some other dimension of being the top of the line at work, or, you know, having his ideas super valued and put into the 7-year plan, the 5-year plan, the whatever, you know, appreciated and valued, and all that is very important for him. But we women tend to see my value is how I please another. And ultimately we would say how I bring another closer to God, which a man would say too, but the way that we would do it is different. And so the woman, I think one of our problems as a very dear priest friend calls it when we've talked about this. He says it's Eve's curse, that the woman always thinks in a relationship that she's the one that has the problem and the man hasn't done any wrong. And so she wants to look better, dress better, cook better, something, because it's always her problem. And I think, you know, if we really understood our own nature and loved it and allowed God to be present in it, whether it the man or the woman, we would see our strengths and appreciate them and realize that's God in us. It's not me. But I can take credit for it, as my father told me one time when I kind of said that. And he said, "You take credit for that, honey. You worked hard. I know you." And I'm like, "Oh, good. Okay, I will." And yet, see the weaknesses that we still have and love those too. And say that more than these pulls God into my heart. It makes me realize he loves me because he forgives and he's building me up here. So he's in some ways perhaps more at work here than he is even here. And so I have to love this too. And that frees us from the fears that we have of ourselves or of others or of God.
We'll return to "And Mary's Yes Continues Afresh" with Sister Joseph Andrew Bogdanowicz in just a moment. Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app in which you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Deacon James Keating, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more are found on the Discerning Hearts free app. Did you also know that you can stream Discerning Hearts programming on numerous streaming platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and so many more? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has the YouTube page? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts.
Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
We now continue with "And Mary's Yes Continues Afresh" with Sister Joseph Andrew Bogdanowicz. I tell you, that fear is the big blocker. Yes. You know, I've heard it said that there are three words that Jesus said in the gospel more than any other, and it wasn't love your neighbor. It was be not afraid.
Wow.
Because if you can't love if you're afraid. Fear is this huge wall that we have. And so, I mean, when John Paul comes out, I'm a JP2 kid like you too, you know, and when he came out and said, be not afraid, you know, and you're just, okay. I don't know how I'm going to get there.
Everything he could say, I'm like, the Holy Spirit just exudes from you, you know, you just nailed me.
Well, it's mutual, and I'm just filled with so much joy that your presence is available. I'm not just yours, but your entire charism is available to so many around the world. I mean, when Jesus said, "Cast your net," you got busy. You got busy casting that net.
Well, I'm not named Andrew for nothing.
That's right. I was going to say, well, okay, if we're going to go there, I was going to mention that, you know, Sister Joseph Andrew, this is your year. I mean, you believe it?
It is.
How about that Immaculate Conception in 2020? Well, yeah. You know what? The last couple of years have kind of blended into a weird thing for me.
I understand. Believe me.
But when that announcement came on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, a year of Joseph, what was your response? I mean,
Oh, honey, I just screamed with joy. In fact, so did my entire community. So the young women who will be entering this August, the 22nd Feast of the Coronation of Mary, Queen of Heaven and Earth. That group named themselves the St. Joseph Group. Mm. And they all, either on March 19th, Feast of St. Joseph, or May 9th, again, May 1st, the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, on either March 19th or May 1st, they made the consecration to St. Joseph. So the entire group is consecrated to St. Joseph. And I just love them because they're consecrated to St. Joseph.
Sure.
I mean, Mary must really love them too, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is this wonderful balance. I mean, it's such a gift when you have both the male but also the female natures.
Yes.
And
yes.
To be able to, it brings balance back into a very hurting, broken world. And I keep using the term disordered. And I use that because...
It is.
God is a God of order.
Yes.
That's a gift. And I just want to make available to you right now, to that person who is listening right now, and in a very real way is saying, how do I start? Where do I go? How do I contact? How do I do anything? What would you say to them?
Gosh, I would say, go into a church, if you could get into an open church, sit before the tabernacle or hopefully Eucharistic adoration, and maybe take something, if you're a person who tends to do this, and write out your deepest thoughts to Jesus and let him, and then sit there with him and let him speak back. And then begin, I would say, hold your rosaries, carry your rosaries with you, bless medals, scapulars, you know, make yourself as available as you can to all good things and start a bit of a plan of life. And for this, you might need assistance, you know. So perhaps there's a religious sister somewhere around that could spend a little bit of extra time, or a priest. And again, priests are pulled in every single direction all the time. So we don't need a spiritual director as such. St. Teresa, I always say this in retreats because we'll get 200 girls on a retreat and they're all like, what spiritual director can I have? I'm like, are you kidding me? The priests are really very busy. We need to pray for more priestly vocations. But St. Teresa would say, God must not have wanted to give me a spiritual director because I can't find one that ever understands me. So he alone must understand my heart, you know, so he speaks to me. And that suits me nicely in the sense of we can't always have that, but God's graces are there when we actually take time to pray. And so with that, certainly I would say maybe probably number one, if you can begin going to Mass more, if you could ever succeed in daily Mass, the changes within you in a short amount of time would be multiples you just couldn't even imagine. And get your quiet place in your home, even if it's in the bustle of a bunch of children. And when you put them to sleep, have a quiet place where you maybe go and just read the Bible a little bit and just think, or pray a rosary. Everybody's different. I'm more of an active type person. So when I pray the rosary, I can think my best. And that's not always that I'm meditating as well as I certainly should be on the mysteries of the rosary, but it's like Mary comes in and she gives me ideas and the Holy Spirit kind of can penetrate. And I grew up on the rosary, so to speak, and I love the rosary, but everybody has their own way, but take it seriously and keep it simple, but begin charting down things that you notice in your own spiritual life and just kind of keep them very simple where the movements of the Holy Spirit, as God is answering your plea, and he is trying to take over more and more because you're trying to open your heart, but our hearts are a bit clogged. And so it's not going to be instantaneous. And that's fine because love is proven through sacrifice. So if I can continue the sacrifice, I can continue the love. Sacrifice of giving myself, even when some days it seems like I've gone backwards, there'll be those days and that's okay too. You know, don't give yourself a report card in your spiritual life because Screwtape, C.S. Lewis, the Screwtape, the devil will try to get in there and always make you. And we just talked about the differences in men and women, what we're prone to. The man won't produce what he thought he should have. And so he'll be down on himself. The woman won't have given, or she would have become impatient, or she in some way was uncharitable, and that's bothering her. So she feels like she went backwards. And it's not that these aren't real, and maybe we didn't, but learn self-knowledge through these and say, I have, more than I realized, a propensity to do this. And I now know I need to watch it. And then, there's just so many things. One thing, again, in our education and virtue program, it shows the vices, and then it shows the virtues opposed to this. So many priests sometimes use the smaller holy cards of saints, and they have the vice, and then they have the virtue. And so they'll give them out as a penance. You know, this seems like pride is really attacking you. So take this and he'll be a saint. And then the virtue of humility, or the virtue of self-giving, or something else. It's just not always the more obvious ones that kind of attack this in many different dimensions. In some dimensions, I'm more ready for than I am for other dimensions. But they're all kind of feeding into the same virtue that I need. And nobody's born with all of them except the Blessed Mother. And so our struggle is our holiness. It's not our way to holiness. That's like I'm going to eventually arrive. It is our holiness right now. The fact that we want holiness, that desire and that struggle for goodness is holiness.
Oh, Sister Joseph Andrew, I could listen to you all day. Just sit at your feet, or maybe just go out and have lunch and keep eating together. That's what girls do, but in a very real way. I mean, what a blessing. And for the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, that gift to all of us, and the continued flowering of that comes, can I say it? A yes, that is, continues to be afresh. Oh, that's the name of a book.
Yes.
Which we'll let everybody know. I just wish we had more time to be able to give to you today. Any final thoughts?
I think I could leave with that thought of, if we're women, to try to be more Marian and to ask Mary to take over my thoughts, my words, my actions, my whole being without reserve, as the consecration to Mary simply put, that we used as children in our May processions, pray. And if we're men, to really consider both Christ, certainly, but also Saint Joseph. I just obviously love Saint Joseph. And the fact that he protected Mary, and what does it mean to protect life in our world today? And what is his role in the preservation and the respect for the dignity of every single human person? And that, obviously, I'm thinking constantly of the unborn who don't have anybody else to protect them, but many times their own parents.
Right.
But I'm also thinking of me and you and everyone else who need each other to, quote, protect us, if it's the manly role, or to re-inspire us with our own Marian femininity, if it's the womanly role, that we all need God from each other. And so to realize we're not complete, and that will happen only in heaven. And that incompletion is a call to continuing holiness, but also that my holiness is now. It's not a future event. And so I constantly make it now. I grow in it, but there's no moment that I can say I'm not being called to holiness, or I can wait. There is no waiting. It's now, the ever-present moment.
Amen. Amen. So beautiful.
Thank you, Chris.
Sister Joseph Andrew, oh, What a delight. But I hope this is just the beginning of future conversations. So much to learn from you. You're such a good teacher.
Oh, gosh. Thank you, Chris. God must have had that plan, I must say.
I think so. For a bratty kid, you turned out really good. So I say that in all reverence and love. Thank you so much.
I totally know. I couldn't have done it without both my parents and the sisters, as I say.
All right. Well,
God love you, Chris. Thank you. And thank you to everyone watching this. May they all glean from it whatever the Holy Spirit wanted them to take. You know?
Yeah. Amen.
God bless.
You've been listening to And Mary's Yes Continues Afresh with Sister Joseph Andrew Bogdanowicz. To learn more about the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, visit sistersofmary.org, the website for the Order of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. To hear and or to download this conversation along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for And Mary's Yes Continues Afresh with Sister Joseph Andrew Bogdanowicz.